You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 67. I am your handsome and talented host, Buck, and I am joined, as always, by your less handsome and much less talented T-Bone and the G-Man, for whom no one is ever going to make an 85-foot banner, do you think?
Hey, what makes you think I don't have an 85-foot banner?
You might. I don't know where you would hang it, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past you. So, season opener is only 3 days away as we record this podcast. I was thinking, have we ever had a bigger season opener in our history than when we take on Texas A&M? And, I mean, if you put everything together, you know, Texas A&M, they don't have Manziel. They're not, you know, they're ranked in the top 25, but just barely. We're top 10. Can you think of a bigger opening game, you know, where, I mean, I feel like a lot is at stake. First game ever on the SEC network.
First time playing these guys.
Yeah.
You know, conference game. A lot on the table for us. Big stage. What it reminds me of, and I don't want to, this is kind of scary. It reminds me that year Clemson opened with Alabama.
Right.
It feels like everybody's going to be looking at us. Yeah, at the Georgia Dome.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of worries me. But, man, I'll tell you, let's put all the worries to the side. I am giddy like I have not been giddy since, I don't know, the last time. Well, I won't get into when. But I'm pretty giddy about this game coming up Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
See, I'm not as giddy. I don't know why. I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I'm not giddy.
When have you ever been giddy, G-Man?
True, but I'm not,
giddy
I'm
is not in your
you're
repertoire.
Like a professional. You worry for a living. That's what you do.
That's true, but I mean, I've been sort of thinking. I know we're going to do some game analysis in a few minutes, but I've been going through a lot of scenarios. This is say in my mind comparisons this team to last year, but I'll put that aside for a while. Let's proceed with the intro, Buck.
So speaking of the SEC Network, before we get into, you know, actual football talk, have you guys enjoyed it so far? I'll be honest with you. I watched it the first night, and I watched a little bit of the 1980 South Carolina-Georgia game, which was really cool.
That was awesome.
That was so cool.
And I watched that, too. Yeah, that was great.
And it still hurts. It still hurts.
George, the fumble. Gah!
I haven't
standing on his hand.
We'd have beat him, too.
I haven't watched much else since then, but The Believer comes on Wednesday night. I'm almost as excited about that as I am for the game. Probably the most exciting part of that is the fact that Kenny Chesney directed it or produced it or something like
that. You're just saying that to make me mad, aren't you?
I'm just going to rise out of T-Bone. That did put
That's
a little...
That's the one part about it that really has me down.
That put a real damper on things. I was like, I would watch like a Ken Burns, you know, 37-episode Steve Spurrier documentary. I mean, I would watch, I'd watch it forever. And then they say, produced by Kenny Chesney. And it's just like, wah,
wah, wah, wah.
So we'll see. It'll still
I
be
hear
good.
You. But no, to address your question, I have been watching the bejesus out of the SEC network. Yeah. You know, I used to come on and I would go like 205. 501. There's certain channels that I just go to. Right. Now it's 611, baby. 611 as soon as I get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was out of town when it started, so I missed the opening few days. When I got back, I've been watching it some. I watched that the Georgia USC game, the Herschel George game. I watched that. I watched the Barkley Bo Big Hurt thing, which was pretty good. But I haven't been watching their normal intro shows or there. I haven't seen much of that.
I'm telling you, you're missing it if you're not seeing, what's his name, Dory Novich or something like that.
Okay.
Dari Noka?
Dari Noka. Yeah, that guy. Like I said, Dari Noka. He's pretty good. I'm enjoying him. And then they trot out a different supporting player every so often. But they do a pretty good job with that show. I guess it's SEC Now.
Yeah.
But the hilarious thing is Greg McAvoy.
McElroy.
Like I said.
That's McElroy. Who we'll talk about later.
Actually, I'm planning on talking about Tanner later on, but we'll get to that. He is hilarious because he is like 90% a great analyst and then 10%, you know, your drunk uncle. he just occasionally just falls all over himself and can't talk. Maybe I feel a connection to him. I don't know.
Right. Well, let's talk some football then. We haven't talked football in a long time. I don't think we've done a podcast since the end of May. I've kind of lost count now. People have been listening to me because we reran all the Buckshots and I posted
they listened to me a couple of times.
That's right. Yeah. So, posted the 2013 review last week. So, hope everybody's enjoyed that. You know, it's been a really quiet off season, relatively speaking. I mean, you got no Jadeveon Clowney, which was, you feel like the team has kind of admitted that was a bit of a distraction. I know distraction is a bad word on Twitter right now, but they kind of like the low-key camp that they've had this fall. And aside from Mike Davis, maybe an A.J. Can here, a Corey Robinson there, there aren't any real stars that have been recognized on preseason all-conference or all-American teams yet. We've still been picked to win the East, which I think is a tribute to the experience and the depth that we have. So let's talk a little bit about the defense first. So we have talked all summer about the concerns at corner. I think our two big concerns are at cornerback and at defensive end. It looks like we'll have one true freshman starting at cornerback in Al Harris. Bryson Williams comes up from safety to start at the other corner. Chris Lamons, Wesley Green, Rico McWilliams are all in the mix to play nickel.
Is it Lamons?
It is Lamons, just like the race. Apparently, yeah, quick story, the name was misspelled on his birth certificate. It's supposed to be L-A-M-O-N-S instead of M-M-O-N-S. But it's Chris Lamons.
It takes an act of Congress to get one of those birth certificates changed.
Yeah, which I guess is why they haven't had it changed.
I've got a little experience in that.
I've been saying Lamons in my head for the whole year.
So I know, yeah, me too.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah. So linebacker, as bad as we thought we were going to be last year, it was a real weakness for us early in the season. That may be our strongest unit. Interior defensive line should be strong. Some surprises at safety. Chris Moody looks like he's going to get the starting nod over Kadetrix Marcus at one safety spot.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah. TJ Holloman beating out Kaiwan Lewis for a starting middle linebacker spot. We're going to see all these guys on the field. I think we're going to see a lot of the 3-4 looks this year, with a lot of smaller, quicker guys running around making tackles, including Bryson Allen Williams, who appears to be who we thought he was going to be. The Army All-American coming in has been very impressive. G-Man, do you think this defense has a chance to be as good as last year's?
You know, I kind of do. I'm a little nervous about the cornerback position more than any other. I believe that the front seven is going to be fine. I mean, obviously missing big number seven is going to hurt. I think it's going to be hard to really know how much we miss them until we see a game and see how much things may change from the way teams attack us. But I'm excited about all these quick linebacker types that we have, you know, who are going to be running around pressuring off the edge. I think that the interior guys are going to be fine. Defensive end, I think we're going to be better there than we expect. I'm nervous about the corners. I'm glad we have five to choose from, because I'm not real sure which ones we're going to settle in with. And we know we lost Smith to the foot, so I was that hurt, because that took away another possibility. So we got five guys. I'm not sure I'm sold on Williams playing corner, even though I think they put him over there as our most experienced guy, thinking he could provide stability. We'll just have to see. I'm nervous about the corner. I think you'll see a lot more zone out of Whammy to start the season to sort of break those guys in. But I think we can be good on defense, especially because of the linebackers. We're going to bring a lot of heat. You're going to see those guys coming in and out of the lineup a lot. Keep them fresh.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Bryson Williams thing. And you know, when you look at him on the field in his helmet and shoulder pads, he looks like he's, you know, 6 foot, 6'1", about 225. And
he's a little linebacker.
I think he's listed at like 5'10", 190 or so. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was really surprised at how small he is. So I'm with you. He just doesn't look like a corner, but you know,
I'll say this. I read that he lost a little weight. I think they bulked him up a little bit to play safety. So, you know, he's always been a solid player, though. I mean, you've never gone, wow, that Bryson Williams, other than that one missed tackle in the Vanderbilt game with Jordan Matthews. It was a total whiff job. Other than that, which, you know, just sticks out, I can't remember us going, man, that guy's terrible, you know? Right. I mean, he's come up big with some plays, and I think they're doing that for stability. I think they're trying to get their best 11 on the field, especially their best four in the secondary. So that's why. I think they don't want two youngsters playing back there so they can maybe protect Harris a little bit at the other corner.
Well, T-Bone, who are you most excited about seeing, Gerald Dixon or Gerald Dixon?
I'm really pumped about seeing Gerald Dixon.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
It's very easy to understand. It's very easy to understand. I mean, and I think the media is going to mess this up all year long. You've got Gerald Dixon, and you've got Gerald Dixon Jr., okay?
Right.
The bigger guy is Jr. It's very easy to understand. Okay? You can't get that wrong. The bigger guy has a bigger number, and he's Jr.
So Jr. is 92?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the bigger guy is the tackle, the smaller guy is the end, but the bigger guy is the junior. So I mean, you keep coming back to that. It's very simple.
I mean,
it's the exact opposite of what you would think. So if you think it's one, say the other one.
Okay. All right. I got you.
I don't know why anybody ever confuses this.
Why would you think junior would be the smaller one? But I see you're just kind of you're playing bizarro roster here.
That's what you do. It's bizarro roster. But
yeah.
I'm excited about seeing junior play, but I'm more excited about seeing 44 play because 44 is more important. I want to say senior, but that screws everything up. He's more important in terms of what we need right now. Because we got some defensive tackles, which feels strange to say, but we've got some guys we can rotate. And I'm just not sure, you know, if 44 Dixon is not doing it, who's the next guy up?
It's Mason Harris,
according to
depth chart.
Which I love Mason Harris. He's a great guy to follow on Twitter. He's hilarious. But
he weighs about 150.
Yeah, exactly. this is the concern. If we go to who's the third defensive end, and that worries me.
Yeah.
So I think that's when you see the 3-4 and you see them slide somebody in. I mean, that's what we're going to have to do.
Well,
is that the reason for it? Is that the reason we're doing it?
Yes. I think so. Yeah, we got a lot of bodies in that 200 to 225 range.
Yep.
You know, we don't have a lot of bodies in that 250 to 275 defensive end size range. So I think that's one reason is we got a lot of really good linebacker safety sized fellas that are going to be running around. And I think you're right. I think they're going to be a lot of stunts, a lot of schemes to try to get pressure in different ways than just a standard four-man rush.
Right, but we're also pretty deep at tackle, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got some guys you can stick in there in short yardage and goal line situations to you know, so you're not going to be tiny up front.
The answer to who the third defensive end may be is that the third defensive end is an outside linebacker and it's Bryson Allen Williams.
Yeah,
maybe, or that Deion Green guy. They talk about him sliding him out maybe on outside some. I don't know.
I'm ready to see Abu Lamine.
Oh, yeah.
That's my man.
Here's the other thing. I want to give us a task for our next podcast. When we review this game next Monday night or whatever, we've all got to pick a cornerback. Okay. You know, let's watch this game. They're going to rotate in. They're going to forget that you're intensely involved in this contest.
Right.
Forget all that. Treat it like an NFL preseason game, which I've been watching a ridiculous amount of lately. Which one of these cornerbacks are we going to settle on? You know, and let's have some fun with that next week.
Yeah. All right.
Which one of these guys is going to be my guy? Which one is going to be your guy? And let's argue over it.
All right.
That sounds like a lot of fun. But let's keep
that
going.
That sounds like a blast to me.
So let's switch over to the offensive side of the ball. And this kid, Dylan Thompson? Tompkins? Thompson is going to be starting at quarterback for us. Is that his name?
He's the taller one, so he's junior.
Yeah. I tell you, Dylan Thompson has been coming in. There have been about 1,000, you know, rankings of players in the SEC and quarterbacks, and Thompson is always coming in like around 5 or 6. You know, he and Hudson Mason of Georgia are kind of right there in the middle of the pack. I think by the end of the season, Dylan Thompson is going to be mentioned as one of the top 2 or 3 quarterbacks in the SEC. I just have a feeling that Spurrier is going to cut him loose. This is one of his old style Florida type quarterbacks that he's been waiting on, taking the reins off. He's a senior. He knows the system. He's been in pressure pack situations before. I think he's going to have a huge year. He's got Mike Davis back there. People will get mad about this probably. I don't think Mike Davis is going to have as big a year this year as he did last year. A couple of reasons for that. I don't think he's going to get as many opportunities. He gets banged up. I shouldn't say he gets banged up easily. He got banged up pretty easily like the last 4 or 5 games of last year. But we got a lot of guys that need the football in their hands in addition to Mike Davis. Brandon Wilds, Sean Carson, David Williams, Shaq, Farrow. There's only one ball to go around. So
Damir
Bird. We got tight ends just out the wazoo, especially now that Cody Gibson is now permanently moved to tight end. You know, it's time for us. How long have we been talking about our tight end depth and I have not necessarily thrown the ball very much to the tight ends? This is the year. So, T-Bone, I'll give you the first crack on offense. What do you think?
Well, I kind of have to disagree with you a little bit. I mean, I'm all team Dylan, so don't get me wrong about that. I'm all for Dylan. But I think that our expectations are pretty high after a couple years of Connor Shaw. And I think Dylan's gonna do some things we're going to love. He's going to throw that deep ball a lot more than we've been seeing. But he's also going to do some things we're not going to love. He's going to throw some interceptions. You know, we're going to have 1 or 2 of those every game. We're not used to that.
Right.
So I think you might say we're going to take a step back at the quarterback position, even though I'm, you know, crazy about Dylan. But I'm really excited about Farrow Cooper. Yeah. I hope that we're going to work him into the game plan in a lot of different ways. Love him. Loved him in the Clemson game last year the way we used him. And I hope we use him a lot more like that. So I'm really excited about Farrow.
Well, I don't know if you're going to ask me, but I'm going to jump in. I think I was going to talk about Farrow as well, but I think you're going to see a lot of that Wildcat. But what really concerns me about the offense, because I agree with everything Buck said about the weapons, I think we're going to distribute the ball. That's going to be the goal. I think you're going to see a lot of screens, a lot of draw plays. It's going to be your old Florida offense where you were pro style with a lot of short ball control passing to distribute the ball around to our guys. But what worries me is 3rd and 8, 3rd and 11.
Right. No 23.
No 23, but also no 14. How many times did we have 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, play breaks down, 14 gets the first down, somehow. I mean, he just owned 3rd down. And that's what worries me. And not that Connor, I'm sorry, Connor, not that Dylan can't do it. I just, I'm concerned about that down because it's going to have to be earned through the air. Not that Dylan can't scramble, because he can scramble better than anybody's giving him credit for, but he's not going to be Connor. We can't expect that. So that's the down. I want to see how that works out on Thursday night. 3rd and 8, what are we going to do? But I think you're going to see some of those. They're going to utilize the tight ends on some of these underneath routes and some of these screens and all that. The O-line, though, is going to have to protect. And we're going to have the backs helping out. I mean, we're going to have to protect him. We've got to keep Dylan clean. To keep him clean, I think he's going to do a really good job.
Yeah, you know, everybody's saying this might be the best offensive line that South Carolina's ever had, which I hate. Right. Because I feel like we said it was one of the Holtz years. We said, this is the best offensive line South Carolina's ever had. This is the offensive line we've been waiting for. And they were terrible. I mean, they were terrible all year. So, you know, you look at Can has had a great career. Corey Robinson has come out of nowhere to have a really solid career. Brandon Shell, of course. You know, the center spot, there's been a lot of movement going on there the last couple of weeks, but it looks like it's going to be Stadnick, who has experience in some big games, and Cody Waldrop, who was our next TJ Johnson, you know, was going to start every game at center in 4 years. Looks like he is probably making a permanent move to guard, and now people are saying, well, that's really his better position. So hopefully Waldrop will be able to settle in there at the right guard spot. So good. Pretty good depth on the offensive line, too, but we need to take advantage of this group this year because I have a feeling a lot of them are going to be gone come this time next year.
Well, next year is a rebuilding time on offensive line. And, you know, what worries me is that basically it's the same offensive line we had last year, minus Patrick. And the last regular season game we had last year, we weren't moving anybody.
Right.
At all. Okay.
Yeah.
So that concerns me a little bit. Even though I'll have to give the Upstaters credit, they do have a good defensive line, pretty good defensive line. But we didn't move anybody. So, and we moved the ball that game with Connor improvising at quarterback. So we got to figure out a way to generate, 150 yards a game on the ground.
Yeah. So let's move on. You know, we hate predictions, but we always do them anyway. So what we're going to do here, we're going to talk a little bit about Texas A&M. I want to get scores out of you on the Texas A&M game, and then we're going to do a speed round. I'm going to go through the entire schedule, put you on the spot, and we'll see how our predictions pan out over the course of the year. So Texas A&M's coming to town. Hopefully, as bad on defense as everything we're reading. Their best players have either been suspended. One of them's got a urinary tract infection. Is that what it is?
A month long one.
Yeah, that just sounds weird.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not sure how
that happens. But I think I'd read at one point that their leading returning tackler was like 7th on the team in tackles last year, and then the next guy was 12th or something like that. So hopefully we'll be able to move the ball a lot against this team. Listening to the Texas A&M folks talk, even though there's no Johnny Manziel, no Mike Evans on offense, they believe they're still going to score a lot of points behind their new quarterback, Kenny Hill. They got a good stable of wide receivers, running backs, veteran offensive line, and then they got this speedy Noel cat who sounds like he's the second coming of Peter Warwick. And for those of you,
they have some other huge receiver too, some 6'6" guy or something.
Ricky Seals Jones. Yeah. So they got some weapons, and they'll probably score some points on us. But I just think we're going to beat them. I'll go first. I'm calling a win, and I'm saying it's somewhere around 44-27. G-Man, how about you?
I'm also calling a win. I'm calling it a little tighter, just because of our historic ability to make games close, especially on the opener. For some reason, we tend to make the openers very interesting.
Yep.
So I'm going 34-31. We're going to kick a couple field goals to win it.
Now, T-Bone, you called loss this morning. I don't know if it was before you had your coffee, but are you sticking by that?
No, I'm sticking by it. I don't. This is not what I want to happen. This is boo. What we got. No.
Boo. Oh my gosh.
Boo.
Do not boo me. You know I don't like that. What's going to happen is the crowd, Williams-Brice, and our linebackers are going to keep this first-time starting quarterback in check for long periods of time. They'll get a few scores. I'm thinking they probably score 24. And I think that we will look good in fits and starts on offense, but we really won't come together. There are going to be times where we look like we couldn't do anything against air. And so I'm going to say 24-21, bad guy.
Oh, wow. That man. Is a shocking way wow. to start the season for T-Bone. All right, let's see if it gets better. All right, I'm gonna call out the game, and I'm going to call your name. I want you to tell me win or loss. You ready?
Do we get to editorialize at all?
We'll see. I haven't really really thought about it very much, but we'll see. All right. T-Bone, East Carolina.
Win.
G-Man.
Win.
Buck says win. T-Bone, Georgia.
It's going to be a win.
G-Man.
Win.
T-Bone, Vandy.
Vandy's a win.
G-Man.
W.
T-Bone, Missouri.
Missouri at home, a win.
G-Man.
Ditto.
Kentucky, T-Bone, on the road.
On the road in Kentucky. It's going to be cold and weird, and the rules of the universe are going to turn upside down, but we will still barely win.
All right, G-Man.
Curb stomp, win.
Curb stomp, okay.
All right, me and the G-Man have got us at halfway through the season 6-0. T-Bone's got us 5-1. T-Bone, going up against your alma mater, Furman.
Win.
G-Man.
I don't know. I think we're going to win that one.
And Buck says win, too. All right, T-Bone, at Auburn.
At Auburn, sad clown noise.
Loss. G-Man, Auburn.
Got to agree with T-Bone.
Yep, I got it. That's our first loss of the year as well. T-Bone, Tennessee.
Big stomping, dancing in the streets, breaking records win.
Payback.
Payback is hell, baby.
G-Man.
Yeah, revenge game, win.
T-Bone, at Florida.
Loss.
Oh, G-Man, at Florida.
Win.
I'm calling that a loss as well. South Alabama, T-Bone.
Win.
G-Man.
Win.
And at Clemson, T-Bone.
Win. Surprisingly easy win.
G-Man.
Absolutely win.
All right.
How about
Buck
you?
Buck did not make a pick there.
Buck says win. T-Bone has us coming in at 9-3.
That's correct.
Buck, 10-2. G-Man, 11-1. So, T-Bone, do we make it to the SEC championship game?
Yes, we do.
Oh, we do at 9-3. Okay.
9-3.
Three conference losses, just like in 2010. Do we win the SEC championship game?
We do not.
G-Man, do we make the SEC championship game?
Well, I have to go 11-1, so yes, absolutely.
Do we win?
No.
I'm going to say no, we do not make the SEC championship game. And no, we do not win the SEC championship.
That's an easy pick.
So, based on this, I don't think, G-Man's prediction, maybe we got a shot at the Final Four. I mean, it would have to be like a barn burner of an SEC championship game, I think, to where they just would have to take both of us. I think no matter the situation, we'd have to win the SEC to get invited to the Final Four.
Right.
So, there you go. Interesting picks there.
I think the West is still stronger. I think Bama, Auburn, LSU.
Right.
All stronger than anybody in the East.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. All right. Well, we'll keep up with that as the season goes. Spurrier, 85-foot banner. T-Bone, what do you think?
Not big enough. Not nearly big enough. I'm thinking Georgia Dome, except with Spurrier's face on the top.
Right. I'm kind of going back and forth on this thing. I think it's cool. And at the, but there's a part of me that just thinks it's super obnoxious. But the people who have seen it in person say it's actually pretty cool looking. So, G-Man, have you been by the stadium yet to see it?
I have not. I really, to be honest with you, haven't paid too much attention to the banner thing. But, I mean, why not? I mean, why not enjoy, you know, the success we've had and honor him? I mean, he's been the best thing that's ever happened in our football program, bar none. I mean, nobody would argue that. Why not put up a banner?
Why wouldn't you name Gamecock Park after him instead of just calling it Gamecock Park?
That works for me.
At some point, he's going to write a check. About the time he retires, he's going to write a really big check.
Yeah.
And he's going to do it in a classy way, and maybe we'll name something cool after him. I'm curious to see if we do rotate the banners, because there's some talk that we're going to rotate it with different things at different times, and I think there's some interesting possibilities out there for taunting our opponents. You know?
Yeah, that's actually a good thought. I hadn't heard that. Yeah. But, put up a Sterling Sharp, a George Rogers, a Josh Brown when Tennessee comes to town.
Exactly. Put up a Josh Brown. Exactly. There'd be four people that got it, but they would really enjoy it.
Right, you know? Yeah. So I was thinking about this, that, you know, Spurrier's got an 85-foot banner. So we'll get in our time machine and we'll go back to the ride home from Birmingham in early 2010.
Should we do like sound effects like?
Yeah, I'll throw the sound effect in there. So
I got a question. Is there a space heater in the car?
There is not.
Okay, because I'm still frozen. But okay,
there's a 30-year-old bottle of Jack Daniels that has
with a web address on it.
Maybe you've heard that joke, maybe. Or, well, it wasn't a joke. It was an actual thing that happened. But So remember what we talked about? We talked about how, you know what, this is just not working. Who's next? Who is next for South Carolina? And, you know, if you've listened to this podcast, you know I'm a big Mike Leach guy. But we were talking about, you know, it's not working. The Spurrier thing is not working. It's a little bit better than Holtz was, but not much. We're still in this 7-8 win realm, and he's never going to get us over the hump, you know?
It's amazing.
And now, there's over the course of the summer, I've just started to notice the media is just in complete love with him, like unlike I've ever seen before. I don't know if you guys have noticed it or not. Other fan bases seem to be giving him more respect and kind of laughing at him instead of throwing all the shade his way. I don't know. I think people are really starting to appreciate him as he gets in the twilight, whether he's got a year, 5 years, 7 years left. I think he's definitely he's been here longer than he's going to stay here. I don't think he's going to be here another 10 years.
I think that's right, and I think you're right about his place in the college football world right now. He's a huge draw. He's something that everybody loves talking about, and let's just face it, he's earned the begrudging respect. I mean, because he's done what people continually told us could not be done. He's turned us into a consistent winner, and it's an amazing thing.
Right, yeah. G-Man, you happy with the Spurrier thing?
I think it was a good hire.
I think it's worked out okay. You know, I mean, I have to say, it's been a pretty good hire, pretty good move by old Mike McGee.
Yeah, it's just, and South Carolina fans. I was talking to somebody the other day. He can say anything. I mean, he can say anything, and it's hilarious.
Right.
Hey, Coach, what'd you have for lunch today? Turkey sandwich.
Oh my God. You just stay the way you are, big guy.
Did you have cheese on it? Yeah, I put some pepper jack on it. Pepper jack! Oh, my God. Did you hear the Spurrier? And then there's like 1,000 tweets. Spurrier said he puts pepper jack on his turkey sandwich. Oh.
You know what that proves? I mean, we were just starved for a winner. You know what I mean? Obviously, right. We hope it keeps going. We're obviously thrilled with it. And I got a little carried away in my prediction thing there a few minutes ago, because 11-1 is, you know, awfully lofty. But, you know, I think our fans are just drinking it in, enjoying it. I mean, been starved for so long. Now we're finally winning. That's why I'm sort of saying, you know, I'm not super excited and giddy like T-Bone said, because I'm still enjoying where we are. I mean, number four national ranking.
Isn't there a weird part of you that kind of doesn't want Thursday to get here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because right now we're on top of the football world. You know, I like it here.
Yeah, the anticipation is the best. Like, these days leading up to it, I'm going to be miserable Thursday, starting at about 4 o'clock.
Right.
I'll start.
But you think we got to remember the times that were. I mean, I remember sitting in the edge of my yard. Like, I don't know why I was doing this. I don't remember exactly how old I was. But I was sitting in the edge of my yard sulking because we just lost to Pacific.
Right.
What year would that have been, G-Man?
Pacific. That was 82, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, because we killed them when George was in 80. We beat them 73-0, so it would have been 82.
But I went and, like, faced away from my house and, like, sulked as my 12-year-old self in the edge of our yard. I remember that. I remember walking in and staying in the entrance to the bathroom in a Belk Simpson and listening to us play NC State and having the game robbed from us.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to Bob Fulton's call on that game. And you think back to those moments where we're just grasping for, give me one game to feel good about.
Yeah.
Just give me one game. And now it's like, you know, every game is fun. Every game feels good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thursday can take forever to get here as far as I'm concerned.
Are you guys, though, I mean, are you with me? Are you going to feel a little weird watching us run out and 14's not going to be out there?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that going to be weird, though? I mean, it seems like he was here forever.
Yeah, there's definitely something comforting about having him out there. But, you know, I feel pretty good with Dylan. If Connor Mitch was starting Thursday night, I'd be panicked.
And you got to realize that's where Clemson is. That's where Georgia is. Georgia's kind of closer to where we are. But that's where Texas A&M is. They've got Connor Mitch starting.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, Georgia and Clemson are very similar to us. You know, you got this veteran quarterback who's been around for a long time who's never played. I mean, Dylan's played more than the other two guys combined, really. Sure. No, I'm very happy with Dylan. Don't get me wrong. I'm very thrilled with him. I think he's going to do a very good job. I don't think he's going to be as good as Shaw.
Admit it. Your team, Skarnikia.
If we're playing him,
some things have gone very wrong.
Let's just say I'm glad Nosovich is still on the team.
Okay? Nasty.
So how about a report from the upstate, T-Bone? How are the Tigers appear to be feeling pretty salty these days?
They are very salty, but they're very quiet. It's like when a known Gamecock walks into the room, they get very interested in the wallpaper or what their mother made for dinner the night before. And we're talking about the 40-year-olds here. They spend a lot of time talking about that stuff, but you can kind of hear on the edge of conversations, they think they're going to win it all. They think they're going to win it all this year.
This year?
Yeah.
With Cole Stout.
No, they don't.
No. Deshaun.
Oh, Deshaun.
They think Deshaun Watson's going to take that job over by midseason, and he's going to be Cam Newton. That's exactly what they think.
Do you know, I didn't realize that they unretired Steve Fuller's number until today.
I didn't know they did it.
Yep. That annoys the hell out of me. I mean,
that promise to Watson.
I promise you, if I was a head football coach at a university and a kid said, you know what, coach, I'll come play there, but I want to wear number 4. I'd say, see ya. If you retire a number, the number is retired.
That is so Dabo to me.
Do you know what? You know when Alshon asked if he could wear number 2, Spurrier went and asked Sterling Sharpe. Sterling Sharpe said no. Right. And I could see Spurrier being like, hey, Sterling, you mind if Alshon wears number 2? No. All right. Alshon, nope, not going to do it. You want to wear number 1? And somebody told me my Spurrier imitation was awful, so I apologize
It's getting better. It really is getting better. It's because you're doing shorter sentences.
Right, yeah. If I go on a long diatribe, I really lose it. But anyway, the whole unretiring numbers for some 17, 18-year-old kid, forget that. I mean, no.
That's what he does, though. I mean, that's the thing. Is he he gets down to their level and does whatever they acts like a teenager, does whatever they want, and then there you go. I mean, it's, I agree, it's disrespectful to Steve Fuller.
Yeah,
but it works, baby, it works.
So who you guys got? Clemson, Georgia, 5:30 on Saturday afternoon.
I got Todd Gurley. That's what I've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Georgia gets a measure of revenge Saturday
night. Actually, I want to go on record as saying this. The wheels are about to come off up here in Pickens County.
Really? You think so?
Oh, yeah. You look at their schedule. If they go bad, as Spurrier would say, yeah, we might go bad. You know, if they go bad.
Kermit the Frog.
They got some games they can drop.
Yeah.
Name two others after Georgia and FSU.
Georgia, FSU, and us, Louisville.
Louisville's not going to beat them this year.
The Syracuse is supposed to be better this year.
Syracuse.
Mark it down. They're going to lose that game.
They're not going to lose to Syracuse.
They're going to finish the year with 4 or 5.
I know you hate them, and I get that, and you got it, but they're not going to lose to Syracuse, okay?
Okay, it's on the record now. Okay.
We've got. Oh wait, I haven't been recording this whole time. No,
dang it.
I'm just kidding. There's some. You know, there aren't any real. That's probably the biggest game of Saturday. I don't know. You got LSU and Wisconsin late night on Saturday. I think LSU will take care of business.
And her McAvoy
at quarterback.
So T-Bone, as the president of the Tanner McAvoy fan club, you had to be happy to see that he was named the starter at Wisconsin.
It's a great comeback story. I'm so excited. If in the movie that they're going to make about Tanner's life, I don't know who's going to play him, but they're going to start with like a voiceover and Connor Shaw yelling at him, barking at him after that touchdown in the in the bowl game.
Right. And he's going to have like a single tear streaming down.
He's going to go over and shake in the corner by himself.
I like the move when he was rushing in and Connor did a little fake and he goes flying by. You remember that one?
Yeah.
He just gives a whiff, the big whiff.
The thing about Tanner, though, man, he went and he did what QBs don't want to do, play safety for a while till the depth chart opens up. I'm pulling for the guy.
So before we wrap things up here, I do want to recognize the folks that sent us questions. Brandy, B Click Clack was one. I actually tried to explain what betting the over-under means earlier today, and I still don't think she understands it because she asked us, what's the over-under we'll see the three of y'all at a game? So,
the
Brandy,
over-under that you'll see the three of us is one. I think.
Well, no, you have to set the over-under. Right? Is it one game? Is it three games? Brandy, you have to say, the over-under is two. You know, do you take the over? Do you take the under? So
under.
I think the over under should be 0.5, and take the under. That'd be it. Layla asked what our season record prediction would be and who we would be likely to lose to. I think we covered that quite well earlier in the show, and she also wants to see a picture of your tramp stamp, T-Bone.
I think I described it.
What is a Shepherd Fairy style Grand Moff Tarkin? What is that?
What you got to do is picture the vintage Barack Obama Hope poster.
Yeah.
The artist who did that was Shepherd Fairy.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
And Grand Moff Tarkin would be the person who told Princess Leia, would you like for me to select another system, perhaps a military target? Then name the system.
Man, you're such a geek.
Wow.
What do you people do in your free time? I
think you and Layla were made for each other in some alternate universe.
But you can picture it now, can't you? You can picture it.
I cannot. I can picture it. What I see right now is the Obama Hope poster. That's as far as you lost me after that.
Grand Moff Tarkin was played by the great English actor Peter Cushing, who was famous from the kind of Dracula movies of 1960s.
Hey, Buck, should I say it?
Go ahead.
Boring.
Seriously, I don't know what you guys do. This is like regular stuff.
This is why when G-Man and I were teenagers, we were dating girls. And you were not. Okay?
This is why you are what they call a, and I'm doing quote marks, a late bloomer.
Late bloomer.
Stop before people cut this off. They probably already have, but
so true, so true. Oh man, welcome to football season, everybody. We're glad it's back. We will do our best to join you every week for a recap. We'll try to get to you probably Monday of next week to recap the Texas A&M game. I'll also do a snap judgments as soon as I can, probably on Friday morning after the first game of the year, which will hopefully be a win. And since it's been 2 or 3 months since we've done a podcast, so this number is going to be a lot of fun to say. It has now been 2,096 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football.
Wow.
And for those of you who want a little more detail, that's 299 weeks, 50,304 hours, 3,018,240 minutes, and 181,094,400 seconds. I'm Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com. For T-Bone and the G-Man, we'll talk to you next week.
What the hell was that there at the end?